Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey. Over a decade ago, attorney Michael Bailey turned his attention to estate law after he recognized the unacceptable number of adults without proper end-of-life planning. Michael recognizes that many of his clients have difficulty finding the time for making a proper estate plan. That's why he became the Mobile Estate Planner. He will go to wherever you are to assist you with your estate planning, including writing wills, trusts, and giving you the information you need to avoid probate. Now, ATX, Ask the Experts, presents Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 AM KLZ, The Source, so we can plan to leave your family something but just alone. Since we've got Papa was a Rolling Stone, apparently, leaving us alone. And if we remember correctly, a Rolling Stone gathers no moss. And, you know, I haven't talked much about moss on this program. And I won't today either, because I don't know very much about moss. It's just a thing. It's green. Sometimes it can be slimy, but that's all I got for moss. So phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600. My direct line is 720-394-6887. And that's, you can use the direct line if you want to talk about your own personal situation or if you have a topic that you'd like me to talk about on the air. And the 303-477-5600 is to call in and talk to me on the air. So we're on 560 KLZ, The Source, also heard on 100.7 FM, 95.3 FM, and 1220 AM. So I had a client the other day who I was talking to, and they wanted me to they're like, well, why do we need to do estate planning now? I mean, we're in pretty good health. Nothing's going to happen. And, you know, we've got plenty of time. And then I had another client who I called. I talked to them last Thursday, and he called me about 4:45 in the afternoon, and I called him back about 5:45 because that's when I got done with my appointment that day, and we started talking about what we needed to do to, you know, kind of fix some of the things in his documents where, you know, he changed his mind on a couple of things or I had a couple of misspellings and things like that. And I said, well, you know, I'll tell you what, I will call you tomorrow and I'll see. And we can talk at that point, and we can figure out what we need to do to get you taken care of. So that's what I did, was I called him the next day. And the next day, I didn't get a response. So I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. But, you know, it happens. So I called him again on Monday. And, you know, didn't hear back. And then about 3:45 in the afternoon, I got a call from his wife who left me a message saying that my client had been in a fall and was in the hospital after the accident. And so we'd probably have to put some things on hold and that we probably would not be able to finish things up this week because he was in the hospital. Now, to me, that's perfectly understandable. You know, if you're in the hospital, I have been to the hospital to visit people and get their estate planning done. I've been to visit people who've had heart attacks in the hospital and, you know, are okay, but probably not going to make it for too long. I've been to the ICU to visit people who need estate planning done, even though they're in the ICU. I've been, you know, all of these places. But, you know, if you're in the hospital, you know, I've had many clients who are elderly who they end up in the hospital, and so once we've got everybody in the hospital, you know, it's usually in the hospital, the last thing you're worried about is, well, gee, how can I get my estate planning updated? It just doesn't seem like something that it, you know, that you're like, woohoo, I'm in the hospital, I just had surgery, or I'm very in a lot of pain. Yes, let's get this estate planning done. So, you know, for him, it's like, okay, I've got to, you know, this poor guy, you know, I was like, okay, well, you know, hopefully I'll wish him a speedy recovery. And then once the speedy recovery is over, we can meet up and we can get your things finished off. But it was an interesting thing that when I originally met with them about, 4 weeks ago, and, you know, we started to, and, you know, I jokingly said, well, hey, we're not going to be able to, you know, I said, you know, okay. So they're like, okay, well, this will be effective, right? You know, because we've talked to you about it. And I said, no, it won't. It's not effective until we finish it and we get it signed, witnessed, notarized, and we have it officially done. And I jokingly said, so, you know, do your best. Try not to die between now and then. And we all laughed and we had a good, you know, joke about how silly that was and that everything would be okay. Well, I didn't mean, you know, and I, that's a standard joke that I use with a lot of my clients. So if you do become my client and I say the standard joke, you can give me a courtesy laugh. That's okay. Or you can actually laugh because you'll forget that I'll use that standard joke. But, you know, this guy in the hospital, he's going to recover. I think he'll be okay. But it was an interesting lesson in why we want to get started now and why we don't want to delay the process. You know, I have clients who I met with 2 or 3 years ago, and they hired me to do what we talked about. And then, you know, I needed a couple of pieces of information from them. And now it's been 2 or 3 years, and I keep trying to get them pinned down so that we can actually meet back together and get stuff signed. And they don't seem to want to do it for some reason. So I'm not entirely sure why somebody wants to hire me, pay half of their money, and then move on to move on and not let me finish what I started. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm like, well, you already paid me for half of it. So I'm a little bit confused as to why, now that you've paid me for half of it, you wouldn't want to come and, you know, finish off the rest of it. But hey, you know, so be it. That's okay. You know, I'd prefer to get it done so that, you know, by the time we get to finishing off your documents, we don't have to say, all right, well, we're going to completely have to change things because, you know, what we started 3 or 4 years ago is now outdated and we need to switch things up. But, you know, and I mean, obviously there's no rush to get things done. Well, sometimes there's a rush. You know, I talked to another client who is in a rush. But the point is that you want to get started on things and get them done so at least you have something in place. And it's good to have something that's correct in place. And then from there, from that place of safety, you can tweak things. You can switch things up. You can do different, you know, you can change things, but at least you've got something in place. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 1690 KDMT, Denver's Money, sorry, KLZ 560. So I do every once in a while, my mind wanders and I forget where I am. So where am I, Dave?
You're in the KLZ studios.
Are you sure?
I'm looking at you right there.
Okay. See, sometimes I'm not sure if I'm actually here. This is 560 KLZ, the source, also heard on 95.3 FM, 1220 AM, and 100.7 FM. There's what I get. I try to remember 4 different radio stations. I screw them all up. We are 560 The Source. Also heard at 560thesource.com and on the TuneIn app. Is there a special place we have to go on the TuneIn app or just the 560 The Source?
Just the 560, just backslash 560.
Backslash 560. Oh, there has to be.
I'm sorry, KLZ 560.
KLZ 560. So there has to be a backslash too?
Well, it's tunein.com/KLZ560.
Okay.
So it's an app.
What happens if they do a forward slash?
I don't know. Is there a forward slash?
You can have a slash either way. I'm not sure. So anyhow, 560thesource.com, 560 or on air. Phone number to talk to us here is 303-477-5600, which I believe is the studio line.
Yeah, I'll answer the phone.
Sweet. So you can talk to Dave, then you can talk to me. Works out well. And then my direct line is 720-394-6887. So yeah, I talking about clients who are in a rush. I had somebody who called me yesterday, and they're very much in a rush. They have their dad is apparently in bad shape, and their dad, who is in bad shape, is wanting to. He was told a month ago that he had like 2 or 3 days to live, so already he's beat the odds. But then he apparently got a little bit better, and you know, so once he's gotten better, you know, he's lived for a month, And now he's going downhill again. So they're very concerned about wanting to make sure that they have a will in place. So I'm going to go visit them, and I'm going to try to get him taken care of. But the first time that I could get there based on my schedule was early next week on Monday. So we agreed that we would meet on Monday, and that we would do so if Dad was still here, because they're not entirely sure if he's still going to be here by the time I get there on Monday. So again, you know, it's not, and he called me after consulting with another attorney, and the other attorney said, yeah, the will that you wrote really isn't going to work. And I asked him, so what's going on with that will? And apparently that will that he had written had, so that will he had written had a, it named this one of the sons as a personal representative, but it didn't name any beneficiaries in the will. So it was just like, oh, we're going to give it to the personal representative, and he can split it up as I will have told him. Well, that doesn't work very well, because if you don't have beneficiaries and you don't tell people how things are going to be split up, there's not a lot that you can do. Because, you know, you have to have, you know, I talked a week or two ago about the default rules of what happens if you don't say who your stuff's supposed to go to. Well, then you're back in the default rules, the Colorado intestate rules that talk about what's going to happen if you don't write down who's supposed to get your stuff. So, you know, having a person who's supposed to carry out your wishes is great. It's important. But you need to write your wishes down, too. Otherwise, just having a person who carry out those wishes. It's like, okay, I want you to carry out my wishes. What are your wishes? Those are good wishes. I like those wishes. Those wishes are non-wishes, so we need to...
Can you just, like, put them in Twitter or on Facebook and have them count?
There are reasons why you're supposed to not do that, because your Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or, I don't know, if I hit major... I don't even know what the cool one is now.
Those all sound good to me.
Okay, good. Well, there's not any sort of proof that it's you writing it. There's not any sort of way to indicate or know that it was you that wrote it. You know, I mean, how many times have you seen a celebrity account be like, oh, that wasn't my tweet, I was hacked? And you're like,
just happened to Ted Cruz.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but anyways, like, oh, yeah, that wasn't my tweet, I was hacked. And I'm like, yeah, that or you thought that would be a good idea. And now since nobody can tell if it was you or not, you can back away from it. I'm like, oh, that was my stupid younger intern who did something dumb to make me look bad. Ha, ha, ha. No, not really me. Ha, ha, ha. And, you know, so, you know, when you have an estate plan, we want indications that it was actually you. We want indicia that these were your wishes and not somebody else making them up. So that's why we have you sign the document that it was you, and that it was signed in front of witnesses and a notary and all those type of things. Because then we have, you know, people who can say, yep, it really was them. Yep, they really did understand that. So those are the type of things that we want to have in a will, because when you're gone, after we've got a will, we can't just ask you, hey, did you really mean this, or were you making it up? So that's why we do it. So does that answer your question there, Dave?
Sounds good, yeah.
All right, sweet. Whew. Whew, much better. Okay. Anyhow, so back to my story on this guy who, you know, called, and, you know, he's at the end of life. And so, you know, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to see if he really is at the end of life. And if he is at the end of life, we're going to have to make an evaluation of whether or not at the end of his life he has enough understanding of what he's doing, an understanding of, you know, everything around him and what's going on, that he can make these decisions. When you do kind of the deathbed estate planning thing, you know, we do what we have to do when we have to do it. But I don't know that the but sometimes when you do deathbed things, there can be questions about somebody's true ability to make intelligent decisions and handle their own things. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, well, you know, we wrote this will on a Thursday and they died on a Friday. Well, that's going to be an interesting, it's going to be an interesting thing. It's going to be an interesting question of, is that how we're supposed to do things? If a person was within a day of dying, you know, how advanced was their illness if they had an illness? Was the illness affecting their cognitive function? Was the illness affecting their ability to make their own decisions? Was the illness affecting their brain? Was, you know, how was this, you know, there's a lot of questions like that come up, especially because at the end of life, sometimes you have people who are, you know, they're drifting in and out of consciousness. Maybe they've, I mean, I've had people where doctors said, yep, they're unresponsive. You know, it's not a good idea for them to do things. And then, you know, 24 hours later, they're back to being responsive. And when they're back to being responsive, well, it's hard to say, oh, well, a day ago they were unresponsive, so I'm not entirely sure that we can figure out what's going on. So, yeah, it's last-minute deathbed stuff can become problematic. You know, we can overcome it, and obviously we can overcome, you know, we can do whatever we can to put all of the, you know, things in place. Yeah, things like, you know, if you have witnesses and they all say, yep, it was him that did it and he signed it and he knew what he was doing at the time. Oh, well, you know, but, you know, 24 hours earlier, he was unconscious. I'm like, yes. And also, I go to sleep every night. So, and yes, there is a, yes, I realize there is a large difference between going to sleep and being unconscious because of an illness. But because of those types of things, it's not, it's better to not delay. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey on 560 KLZ, The Source. Also heard on 100.7 FM, 95.3 FM, 1220 AM, 560thesource.com, the TuneIn app. And if you are like some of the celebrities who have come up with some fantastical stories, if you have a metal filling in your mouth and you chew on it just right, you can receive radio signals. Or do we remember that from, I think it was
Lucille. Yeah, you face west, open your mouth really wide.
It was Lucille Ball who said something like that, I believe.
Yeah, she got CIA.
Right.
It was the CIA, I think it was their lunch menu or something, their daily announcements.
Right. Well, you know, that important information that's vital to national security, the lunch announcements, you know, we need to worry about that. Yeah, I mean, and I'm not making fun of Lucille Ball. She was quite the comedian. And you have to wonder if that was, you know, a big joke that she was playing to, or if she was serious. I don't know. But, you know, if you want to listen to us, you can tune into the actual radio station of 560 The Source stuff. And phone number to talk to us in the air is 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. So, I mean, I've had clients who, you know, I have lots of clients who are in like their mid to late 80s or early 90s. And I suppose when you're in your mid to late 80s or early 90s, you know, you've lived a long, happy, healthy life. You know, you're probably, in my opinion, I'm like, hey, you get that, you live that long, you know, good for you. You might actually be living a little bit on borrowed time, but you're definitely, you know, I mean, at 80 or 90, when something goes wrong, it can easily turn into a fatal time. And I've had clients where I met with them, and we talked about how we were going to do their estate plan, and we got everything set up, and I started working on it, and, you know, sent out a draft, and then we were supposed to meet in 2 or 3 days. And then I get a call from the kids. Like, hey, what's going on? Well, you know, mom and or dad passed away last night. Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that. So probably this means we're not going to meet in 3 days to sign their documents. Well, no. Okay. Well, yeah, and in that case, a lot of the 80 and 90-year-olds, they're in assisted living or skilled nursing or, you know, some sort of community like that. And so, you know, it's always a danger that's there that they won't be there to be able to sign their documents. Now, when I meet with people who are younger, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, those are you don't expect those people to necessarily have a stroke or a heart attack or something and drop dead. It happens, but, you know, just from an age and health standpoint, it's less likely to happen. But if someone is aging or someone does have a medical condition, you know, we may be playing with borrowed time. And if we're playing with borrowed time, we need to get the estate plan done. You know, this is part of why I'm a fan of meeting with people long before there's a crisis, because long before there's a crisis is the time to plan ahead, not during the crisis. Or, you know, you're like, oh, you know, somebody's had a heart attack and they're about to take him away in the ambulance. Quick, hold on just a minute. We need to make sure we get a power of attorney signed before you take them away. Yeah, that's not really on the radar screen of the first responders and the EMTs or even the doctors. You know, they're like, okay, we're going to treat the person. We're going to try to keep them from dying, you know, which usually is a good thing. Yeah, you know, for the person who's having the medical emergency, generally they want to be kept alive and not dead. It's one of those things. You know, it's weird. I don't know. But, you know, the decision, you know, the question of, oh, we need to get our, you know, legal house in order, so to speak. That's not high on their priority list when someone's just had a heart attack and we're trying to get them, you know, breathing on their own and, you know, circulating blood on their own and not dead. So, you know, we plan ahead. And that's the whole point of estate planning, is that it's a plan to put in place ahead of time. You know, every once in a while I've had weird things where I had one client where I went down to visit her in a skilled nursing facility. And we talked and we had gotten everything done and I'd gone back and we were signing everything on a Friday afternoon. I think it was like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And I remember that the poor woman was a little bit cold. And so I took off my suit coat, because, you know, if I wear a suit coat, why not? And, you know, it was warm, so I could put it on. So I put the suit coat on her so she could keep warm. So, you know, hey, I did something right. And she had she had some crumbs on her cheek from lunch that she got on the lapel of my suit coat. I remember being somewhat, you know, slightly annoyed by that. Fortunately for me, I didn't say anything to her, because that would have been not nice. And although I am capable of being not nice, I usually try to be nice and, yeah, I try not to be a complete total jerk, just a partial one, you know. The important distinction is important, maybe not, but hey, still. And so we got everything signed, and I said, hey, well, you know, have a great weekend, and we walked out and we left, and I didn't think much more of it until I got a call on Monday morning. And that Monday morning was from her son, who said, oh, yeah, you know, I'm so glad we got this all done. I'm like, really? Why? What's up? You know, it's always, you know, it's kind of comforting to have it done. Because then you're ready, and he says, no, mom had a stroke and died on Saturday night. So one day, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's no good. And, you know, but it was true. We had completely by chance and not on purpose gotten everything done right in time. And he was, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, he's probably going to ask for a refund of assets and such like this, you know. And, you know, he's like, oh, he's going to ask for us, you know, me to pay him back because he didn't get to use it and so on and so forth. I'm like, he's like, no, so what do I need to do now and how do I handle this? I'm like, okay, well, here's what you do. And he's like, okay, great. And then he says, oh, well, thank you so much for helping to get it done. You know, we would have been lost without you and so on and so forth. So, again, it was good that I didn't say out loud, oh, sure, you probably want a refund or something, huh? You know, usually it's one of those things where, I mean, I suppose we all keep lots of thoughts to ourselves that we shouldn't say out loud. And we remember the advice of Thumper's mom, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. But fortunately for me, I could be explaining legal documents, which was neither nice nor mean. It was just, you know, factual information and, you know, things they needed to do. But, you know, so that story makes me both look good and bad all at the same time. It's dual story.
So I've got a question about making a will. And if this does this ever happen, let's say somebody is pretty wealthy, they have a large estate, but they have several heirs.
Okay.
But let's say you want to do something like send everybody on a cross country scavenger hunt, and whoever wins gets all the inheritance. Is that legal? Is that possible to do through you? Do people ever do that? Have you ever seen anyone do that?
So which movie were you watching that this is based
on? I was just thinking about, well, you were talking about all the different things that people can do, and I've done a lot of research for the commercials and stuff, and I was just wondering if there's anybody that's ever, it seems like something that I might do.
Okay. So,
you know, like, oh, you know, like, yeah, you have to go to St. Louis, and then you got to go to New York City, and then you got to come to the, you know what I'm saying, and like pick something up and then put a puzzle together like a National Treasure style.
So it's a fusion of like the Amazing Race and it's a
mad world. Exactly.
Okay. So Hollywood makes for bad law. Good law makes for bad Hollywood. And I've never heard of anybody wanting to do that. I've never heard of anybody trying to set that up. Nobody's asked me about it.
But if you wanted to, you could, right? You could.
I'm not familiar enough with the rules to say on that particular point, yes or no. That's an awfully obscure way of trying to do things that I would have to do a lot more research to say for sure yes or no.
Sure, that person probably have to be crazy.
Well, you know, but there's crazy as in mentally incompetent or mentally defective, or crazy just as in, wow, you're a crazy dude. You know, people who skydive, you know, I think might be crazy. You know, there's an indoor skydiving place where you can go, if the fan turns off, you fall 10 feet, not 10,000 feet. You know, some people think that I'm crazy that I referee high school basketball, which I probably am. But, you know, so there's different levels of crazy and different understandings of what the word crazy means. So, you know, I unless it violated some sort of public policy, I imagine you could do that. You might run into problems of people who think they're being cut out unfairly contesting that. So, you know, there is that problem that you run into. But if you, I mean, and something like that would certainly take a long time to set up of where you're going to go and where you're going to be and what you're going to do and who can go where and who needs to do what and all that type of stuff. So it's one of those things where the sooner you can start, the better you can have control and understanding of what's going to go on with your estate plan. So that's why we plan ahead. So thank you for listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey on 560 The Source and 560thesource.com. John Rush is up with Rush to Reason. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks and bye.
Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey will return to ATX next Wednesday at 2:30 here on KLZ 560 The Source, AM 560, FM 100.7, and online at 560thesource.com.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.